Oh, how I love you. But some of you need to learn how to enjoy things. There were some long faces during the happiest song we've... Bless your heart. It's okay. It's good to be a child of God, right? It's good to have a smile. He's changed us. It may look bleak here on earth, but praise God, I know where I'm going. It's going to be better when I get there. How about you? The book of Acts chapter 2, we're continuing our study today on the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And that's the theme of this study, upon this rock. The message today, when does a church grow? Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. Peter is preaching here. It's the day of Pentecost. This is Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. And he says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven today, Lord, we need you. I pray that, Lord, you will manifest your presence among us today. I pray for those who do not know you as their personal Savior, that if they were to die right now, Lord, they know they'd spend eternity in hell. And Lord, I pray that you'd convict of sin, that you'd draw them to you, and that today they would make that step, receiving you as their Lord and Savior, that they would call out to you for salvation. I pray for those, Lord, in this congregation who are just fighting the battles of life, who are hurting, who are struggling, for various reasons, and you know why, Lord. I pray for their comfort, for their encouragement. I pray for those who have fallen by the wayside. Those who have just grown cold through years of inactivity. I pray that, Lord, you would convict of sin again. That you would draw them to you and they would rededicate their lives. Lord, move among us in a mighty way. You and your wisdom and power know every need that's present, and I pray that when we all leave this place today, we'll know that we have been in the house of the Lord. And that we have been in your presence. And that you have met our needs, our spiritual needs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, our question was church important? And is church important? Good. Absolutely, church is important. This week, we're going to talk about, since church is so important, we're going to answer the question, when does the church grow? Or how does the church grow? And we begin, number one, when the message is preached. And the message that we're talking about is not just some speech, okay? The message we're talking about is the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if you look at the message that Peter was preaching, the sermon that Peter was preaching, that word testify, it means to declare solemnly and emphatically. There was fire in Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. You know that? I mean, there wasn't any pew setting, I don't feel good and I'm just lounging around, I really don't want to be here. There was fire in Peter's preaching. You ever wondered why? Why was Peter? That word testify means emphatically. Now, are you convinced that Jesus Christ is the answer to every need present today? Are you emphatic about it? Are you excited about it? No, we've heard it so much that it's just become, Jesus will help you. And no, Jesus is the answer. And Peter knew that fact. That's why he was preaching so intensely on the day of Pentecost. You see, Peter was a man who had had firsthand experience with Jesus Christ. He had been taught by Jesus. He watched as Jesus gave sight to the blind, healed the sick, and cast out demons. Peter watched as the Lord taught them day by day and told them to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Peter was there when Jesus was arrested and beaten. Peter was there when they hung his Savior upon the cross of Calvary. Peter was there when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Peter was there when Jesus cried, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. Peter was there when Jesus came out of the grave. He saw the risen Savior. He saw the nails and the nail prints and the hands and the feet. Peter was there. And beloved, I want to tell you, Peter went from being wishy-washy and denying Jesus Christ to the day of Pentecost, where he wanted the entire world to know that Jesus was the Messiah, the risen Savior, and the answer to every need that they had that day in Jerusalem. Oh, beloved, there was a fire in the bones of Peter that day. And now he stands before these people in Jerusalem and declares Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And he cries out, "Men and brethren, be saved from this perverse generation." He didn't say, "If you want to come." He said, "Men and brethren, be saved. Come now. Be delivered from this perverse generation." I ask you, where's the fire? Where's the fire? Are you fired up about Jesus? I mean, think about it. What's the difference in you and Peter? There are those among us today whose marriages are falling apart. My question to the church is, where's the fire? There are those today who are hurting because of lost loved ones. My question to the church is, where's the fire? There are those among us that are dealing, plagued by drug addictions, porn addictions, and sexual addictions. My question to the church is, where's your fire? There are those who are dealing with homosexuality and every unimaginable sexual sin that you can think of. In this church, and likely in this congregation today, church, where is the fire? Do you not know that Jesus is the answer? Can you stand before them who are fighting the battles, who are battling sin, who are battling immorality, and tell them, "Yes, I have been through this life with Jesus, and I know that He can deliver you." He can. What have you been through? I said Peter walked with Jesus, you know, and he heard Jesus talk and teach and preach, and it changed him. Has your experience with Jesus changed you? Oh, Peter, you know, when he's preaching, he's preaching with passion Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Acts 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." And he's proclaiming it with all his heart. Do you have that kind of passion? I'll tell you, as I prepared this message, I thought, Preacher Hambrick, you need to step it up a little bit. Jesus is still the answer. He's still as good as He ever was. He'll still deliver from whatever anguish that's plaguing you today. Jesus, for the lost, do you realize you're going to hell? I say that lovingly, and I'm not stomping and jumping up and down and kidding in your face, but I want you to know hell is real. The good news is Jesus came to deliver you from that hell. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. And now He says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is you. If you've never done that, know of a certainty that Jesus is the answer. Are you tired? Are you weary? You're just about taking your last step. Do you know Jesus is the answer? Matthew chapter 11:28. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the answer. Yes, we do have the answer. Is your life threatened? There may be some in this congregation today that you've heard from the doctor and you kind of, you know, tomorrow's questionable. You know, Jesus is the answer for where you are. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You realize that's more than words you just put on a wall. That is the Word of God speaking to you. Beloved, we need the passion. And when the church is going to grow is when the church members have the passion again. The burning for Jesus Christ. Where we're glad to tell people and we tell them with conviction that Jesus can deliver you. And if you're here today, you understand this. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is still the answer. You need Him. And I declare that and I present that to you with every unction of my heart. You need Jesus. That's our message today. The church not only grows when Jesus is preached. The church grows when the masses respond. I love, and I know it, you may look back, and I'm sure I preached from, I know I preached from Acts chapter 2 more than once in the last 8 years. But I'll be honest, I love preaching from Acts chapter 2. It's an exciting time in the growth of the church. The church grows when the masses respond. Look at what happened. Then accordingly, those who gladly received the word were baptized. That word, gladly received, it literally means to welcome. It means to take it as the truth. That they took it to themselves and their response was based upon the truth that Peter preached. You know what they did? Peter's preached, this same Jesus whom you crucified is now become Lord and Savior. And you know what these people did? Up earlier in this chapter, they said, whoa, brethren, what do we do? What must we do? Peter said, Peter responded, well, I'll tell you what, you can't sit there and do anything about it. You know what he said? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Now, I understand that's a very controversial scripture, and I'm not going to go real deep, but bottom line is baptism doesn't save you. And I could break down, if you want to spend about 30 minutes one-on-one with me, I'll break down the translation to tell you what the Greek says, but basically it's on the basis of the forgiveness of sins, okay? But what I want you to grab hold of is they didn't just sit there and do nothing. Do you realize the preaching of the Word of God is not something that you acknowledge, it's something you respond to? That's what we're losing in churches today. People are afraid to walk down the aisles anymore. I mean, people, you remember the old days when we'd come down to the altar and get on our knees in prayer because we were burned about something and we didn't care who saw. You remember those days? Come on, give me an amen. If you ever saw that. What changed? We became too concerned with what everybody else is thinking. Okay? Your presence here today is not about everybody else. Your presence here today is about you and Almighty God. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they think or what the balcony thinks. What matters is your presence here today is to fellowship and commune with Almighty God. Start worrying about God and quit worrying about people. Respond to the Word when it is preached. They went public. Let me tell you. You know what they were doing? You know what they did? They were baptized. They were baptized. That's what baptism is. Baptism is your public identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, when we lay them down in the water, that represents the death of Jesus. When we lift them up out of the water, that represents the resurrection of Jesus. I'll tell you what else it represents. It represents the death of the old man. That's you. That old sinner that died to self and to sin. And when we raise you up out of the water, it represents that new man rising to walk in a new life with Jesus Christ. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? That is... And what you're doing is you're declaring that to everyone without saying a word. It's the best speech you'll ever make without speaking. The key is, declare it. Declare it. Let the world know. I like Romans chapter 6 verse 4. It says, therefore, we're buried with Him through baptism into death. That's just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. That's what baptism represents. We're walking in newness of life. And we want the world to know. Listen, my friends. I love you. I love you. You know that? Do y'all know it in the balcony? Y'all can say amen up there too. I love you. But I want to share with you a message of love. That if you've never been baptized, if you've never followed the Lord in baptism, you're not right with God. Why, Brother Doug, who are you to say, I'm not right with God? Well, I'll tell you, 1 Peter 3:21. There's also an antitype which does now also save us, baptism. What that means is, in the Greek, it's basically, there's a picture of our salvation, and that picture is baptism. But read the next line. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh. We're not saved because we're doing everything right. Okay? And baptism doesn't remove the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. If you have professed Jesus Christ and never went public, you and I, and most importantly, God Himself knows that on the inside, you do not have a clear, good conscience before God. Why? Because something is missing. What's missing? Your public declaration. Oh, listen, friends. You know, we've discounted baptism to the point that it's not important. It is important. It is important. If you're a child of God, declare it for all to see. Not only were they baptized, they became a part of the local church. Okay? If you'll notice Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Who's them? The church at Jerusalem. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That church at Jerusalem was growing. Why? Because people were going public with their faith. Oh, listen. Churches today, and listen, I love the brethren, but churches are getting bad about no commitment. We don't have church rolls anymore. We don't have invitations anymore because we don't want to put people on the spot, and we're afraid that they'll actually make a commitment to God. Listen. That's part of your responsibility as a child of God. Join the church. Be baptized. Declare Jesus to the world. And be added to a church that's going to serve the Lord. Quit making excuses. Well, Brother Doug. Brother Doug. People scare me. And I don't want people to be looking at me. Have you ever heard that? I've heard it. I don't want people to look at me. Secret. When you're following the Lord in baptism, they're not looking at you. They're looking at Jesus and a picture of His death, burial, and resurrection. It's not about you. Okay? And I say that lovingly. I don't mean to, I don't want to sound all smart aleck or anything like that. But I want you to know There are expectations of a child of God. Be baptized. Church membership. Well, Brother Doug, you know, I could serve just as well. No, you can't. You see, church membership is a commitment. That means I'm going to serve the Lord through this local New Testament church. I'm going to be a part of the church. I want to tell you what, Victory, we want you to join this church. Not to sit in the pew, but to get involved in the kingdom work of Almighty God. Okay? You need to have that place of service, that place of contribution. And if you're here today and you've been visiting Victory, okay, and I'm not putting you on the spot. Maybe I am. Well, never mind. It don't matter. God's leading anyway. If you're here today and you know that Victory's where God wants you to be, that you've been coming for a while now and you've seen and your questions have been answered, don't put it off anymore. Come for church membership. If you're here today and you've not followed the Lord in baptism, come. I mean, isn't that why you're saved? To be involved in kingdom work. Then finally, church grows when its members are relational. It says they continue daily with one accord. They devoted, that word continue means to devote. They devoted themselves to four things. Number one, doctrine. Teaching. Teaching of the Word of God. You know, something else that churches are losing today is the importance of the Word of God. You know why people go to church now? Music. If you go to church because of music, you need to find a new church. Whether it's Victory or anywhere else. The foundational... The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the Word of God, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. There's more to church than music. There's the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you love it? And we need to get back to loving the Word. You know, having a passion, desire for the Word of God once again. How do you do that? Listen, you need to be involved in a Bible study. Okay? Need to come to Sunday morning Bible study. Oh, Brother Doug, it's too early. No, it's not. Goodness gracious, it's 9:30. Come on. Do you get up and go to work? Well, yes. Is your work more important than the work of God? Well, no. Listen, we got to get that love, that passion for the Bible again, the Word of God, to get in there. And when we could, and listen, I love preaching to you every Sunday. I love preaching the Word of God to you. But I also want to encourage you, you know, there's nothing like sitting with a group of fellow believers and hearing from one another in that small group Bible study. You know, it's special. It's great. Get involved. Make the Word of God important again. They continued in doctrine. They continued in fellowship. Caring for one another. Taking the time to be a friend. You know, people, the business of people can be nasty sometimes. Sometimes you say, "How are you today?" and you learn a lot more than you want to know. Don't we? I mean, we do. I've come to the point, if I don't have 5 minutes, I don't ask how they're doing anymore. Oh. But listen, isn't that what we are as a church? Just loving people and truly caring. Caring about what one another are going through. Whether it's health, whether it's marriage, whether it's just challenges of life. You see, we got to get back to loving people, not just meeting on Sunday. That's what we're about. I'll tell you another danger of the church. A great danger in the church today is getting your local group of about 10 friends. especially in a church the size of Victory. You get your group of 10 friends, and you say, that's my group. And every Sunday, when you get to church, you go to that same group. And you talk to that same group. And it's like nobody else can get in that same group because that's solidified to the point that they can't get in there. And you don't do it on purpose. You just do it because it's comfortable. Today I want to challenge you to get out of your comfort zone. I'm not saying forsake those close relationships, but I am saying you need to build new ones. Okay? You need to open up and let others in. You know? Don't shut them out. Work to bring others in. Say, Brother Doug, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Remember, when you come to church on Sunday morning, you don't come for you. You come to serve God. And serving God means serving others. So you come focused upon others on Sunday morning. Okay? Ministering to and encouraging the brethren. That's why you come. Okay? And you come on Sunday morning. Here's the big challenge. You may throw something at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Another great thing that you can do is move. I'm talking about changing pews on Sunday morning. I've done this before, and it throws me for a loop. I'll be honest with you. Because I judge who's here and who's not by where you sit. I do. I can tell pretty quick. Yeah, they're missing. I wonder where they are today. You know, but I do it based on where you sit. So it's going to mess me up, but it's okay. I'm willing to sacrifice. Right? Move. Get out of your same old pew. Why? Because you see, you sit in the same old pew and you see the same old people in front of you and behind you every week. And you never meet anybody new. And you know what else you do? You never meet anybody new. So you back up and say, boy, there's a lot of people here I don't know. Ooh. Move. Get to know some measure. But Brother Doug, you don't understand. I've sat in this pew since this church was built. Brother Michael's got some WD-40. We'll break that stuff out, get the rust off, and unhook you from that pew so you can move, okay? Move. And don't just do it one time. Move, you know, today or next Sunday. Move. Sit there a month and a half, 2 months. Move again. Sit there a month and a half, 2 months. Move again. That way you're getting around. And I promise you, eventually you'll get around to all sections. Have you sat on the floor for the last 10 years? Move to the balcony for a month. Brother Doug, I don't like the balcony. I don't like sitting up there. It's okay. It's not about you. You need to go up there and meet those folks in the balcony. Have you been sitting in the balcony? Come on down to the floor. We'd like to have you down here too. You see my point. And we smile. But the truth is, when you sit and you do the same thing Sunday after Sunday, you get the same result. Okay? It's time for us to get out of our comfort zone. Let's meet some new faces. Let's talk to some new people. Let's learn some new names. You say, Brother Doug, I'm terrible with names. It's okay. Me too. You know what I do? And I meet people for the second and third time, and I've met them before, and I can't remember their name. You know what I do? I say, what's your name? You see, I'd rather them think that I'm just this preacher that can't remember anything than to think I'm a preacher who don't care. Okay? It's okay to ask somebody their name more than once. Do it. Do it. You see, that's what fellowship is. Getting to know one another. Seeing one another. Sharing our time together that God gives. They went on breaking of bread. See, I think the breaking of bread there is talking about the Lord's Supper. Okay? And I want to emphasize to you how important the Lord's Supper is. At Victory, when we observe the Lord's Supper, it's all about the Lord's Supper. One purpose, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. And you know what it does? It serves to get me back on track as to why I'm here. I remember it's all about Jesus. So if you've been skipping over Lord's Supper, you know, on Sunday night, we do it a Sunday night once a quarter, and you'll see it in the bulletin, and you think, oh, it's not an important night. It's the most important Sunday night of the whole quarter. Okay? Come. Then finally, prayer. Bringing our petitions before God. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One of the joys of being a part of a local church is having prayer partners. If you don't have a prayer partner, step out on a limb and get you one. Okay? Grab somebody by the arm and say, will you be my prayer partner? I've got a matter I want to pray about. You know, sometimes I think we do prayer requests, and I'm all about prayer requests, but quite honestly, the number of prayer requests that we get in any given service, you know, it's hard to hang on and remember all those prayer requests. But I tell you what I will do. If somebody grabs me by the arm and says, Brother Doug, will you pray with me? I say, yes. What are we praying about? Get you a prayer partner. You need that. In conclusion, when does the church grow? The final answer, when we stop making excuses. When we stop saying, well, I know I should, and one of these days I'm going to, and I'm going to walk down that aisle next Sunday, next month, next year. We stop making excuses. And we just say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Lord, do you want me to be baptized? I'm ready. Here we go. Lord, do you want me to be a member of this church? Here we go. No excuses. Here we go. Lord, do you want me to come to this altar and pray for my brother? Here we go. See, we've got to get public with Jesus again. We've got to quit making excuses. When we quit making excuses, the church will grow. You know how I know that? Because God is willing. God is willing. His desire. This church at Jerusalem, you know, it says the Lord added to the church daily. The last verse, the Lord added to the church daily. Well, that's what I want to see. But it gets even better a little later. I think it's like chapter 6. It says, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem were multiplied. When church gets fun, it's when the Lord starts multiplying. That's where we're headed. That has to be our desire, our goal. Now today, I want to challenge you. Okay? Everybody listening. If the Lord has convicted you of sin, you've never made a public profession of faith, I'm going to ask you, will you forget about what everybody else is thinking and don't worry about who's looking and realize it's between you and God? Will you step out, come down this aisle, and let me lead you to Jesus? If you're here today and you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism, you found every excuse as to why not now? Quit making excuses. And this invitation, we're going to have a song, and it's an invitation for you to come and request baptism, and we get that scheduled. If you're here today and you know the Lord is leading you to become a member of this church, now I'm not trying to talk you into anything, all right? I want you to know this is where God wants me to serve, okay? If you have that assurance, don't put it off. This invitation, you step out from where you are. Don't wait till the second verse. Don't wait till the third verse. Right? When the invitation starts, you come on. Maybe you're here and you've still got some questions about victories and things that you don't quite understand. Let me challenge you. You want to meet with me? Give me a call next week. I'll meet with you. I'll meet with you day or night. Okay? If you work it during the day, we'll meet in the evening. Whatever it takes. I want to help you follow the Lord. But you got to quit putting it off. Got to quit making excuses. What you need. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's just giving you a prayer burden. Man, your heart's breaking for somebody. And you would come down and you would get on your knees at this altar, but people are watching. I just remind you, not about people. It's about what God has put on your heart. And let me tell you something. If you're not strong enough to stand before this congregation of believers, how do you expect to stand for God out there in a hostile world? Take your stand today. Our Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation, Father, I pray for your conviction to be upon those who are lost. I pray that today they will call upon you for salvation. I pray that today those who have not followed you in baptism, Lord, will come and make their profession of faith public. For those, Lord, who you're leading to become a member of Victory and to serve you here, I pray that today you will give them what they need to step out and make that commitment. I pray that today's the day for every spiritual need to be fulfilled. Lord, I love you. And I pray in this invitation, your will be done. Not mine, but your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.